accession number 11038, reel 8.
Mr. Bill Towers, reel 8. You're telling me how he poured the iodine on you? Yes. Did he just pour it into the hole?
Yes, into the hole. And the pain was terrific. Oh, Dan had more pain then than ever. Anyway, they ran some bandaging round and put me on a stretcher. But what they did, they lifted me up on the shoulder. And I was covered in them. I said, oh, for God's sake, hurry, put me down. No, you're all right, you'll be all right. So off we went. But I couldn't see where they were going. It was open, barren land. And all of a sudden, they stopped, put the stretcher down. I said, what's up, aren't you going? He said, you're all right, don't worry. And they went and cleared some stuff away off there. And there was a trap door. They lifted it up. And it was a slide. They put a stretcher on, fastened the rope and lowered it down to somebody underneath. It was a proper hospital underneath. It had been a German hospital underground.
And whereabouts exactly was this?
Just at the other side of Ypres, Passchendaele. On the Passchendaele. And
so
when I went down...
So were moving towards the Passchendaele Ridge?
Ridge, yes, that's it. And there was a full staff of hospital people there that took me down into a theatre, and I always remember that giving the anaesthetic, it was terrible. They had a white mask like that fit on your face, and she had a bottle, had this sister, and I pressed it on, and when that drop went, you fought, you know, fighting, and she held it down like that, you're all right, stop it, and next news, I woke up and I was on the train. I'd operation and I must have been under anaesthetic when they took me away and put me on the train, and it was in a carriage and the seats were there, but you didn't use the seat. The stretcher was there with two straps fixed on the wall like that, holding it up, and that, and another one up there, same. So there were four of you in the carriage. And when I came round to look round, this sergeant there, he was next patient to me.
What, the sergeant? Where had he been hit?
He didn't, but hit in the leg, just saying.
Was he badly
wounded? No, he wasn't badly, it was just a small wound. Not as bad as mine, though.
Well, when did you first realise how serious your wound was?
Oh, well, when I got down, that was a disastrous thing. They took us down on this train to a place called Etaps. Their base, where the hospital, and they were all two big marquees into one, and it was all duck boards, and when he got out of bed, it was a duck board. And they put me in a bed, and there's some fellas at that side, and some on little low beds also, and it turned out it was a Canadian hospital. And I always remember that chap opposite me, he was a big fella, I didn't know, it turned out he was a guardsman. And he'd had his leg off, below knee, just to, and they guillotined it. But they put gauze on, just gauze on, and wrapped it up then. And then they come next day, and they tore that gauze off, pulled it off, and it was in layers. And it was like pulling your toes out. First time I'd heard a man scream, and he screamed. Anyway, I didn't think no about it. And one day, I had a Thomas splint, which is a round wooden ring with an iron bars down and a footrest, and you were all strapped in that, but it was uncomfortable. Oh, and the pain from my knee was getting terrible. And we're watching down.
That was the only wound you'd got? I mean,
yes, that was
shattered kneecap?
Yes, that was it. And I was looking down this here, this here marquee, and there was an officer coming up with two sisters, and he had his arm round her, laughing and talking. I thought, well, if that's an inspection, they didn't inspect him much. He came right through one, never said aught to anybody, coming past me. So I just said, excuse me, sir. He says, what? I said, could you have a look at mine? It's driving me crazy, the pain. Right, so they took bandages off, and he says, oh, there's a fluid there.
In the thigh? No, in the ear. Just above the knee.
Yes, just above the knee. I said, we'll tap that tonight. We'll tap it. So, right, they came for me to go to the theatre. I said, oh, thank God for that. I woke up at early hours at morning. I said, what's the matter here? My hand dropped off. I thought, oh, my God, my leg's gone. They'd taken it off, guillotined it off. Never said a word. I thought, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? Because the only thing I knew was the men on crutch, one crutch and a tin can with a leg up, collecting, begging. I said, oh, my God.
So they said they were going to drain tap, the fluid.
Tap it.
And was there no hint at all that you were going to lose your leg?
No.
Had you ever thought you'd lose
your leg? No, never thought in the wild world.
You thought that the wound would get better?
Better. And I thought they'd tap this fluid. He said it, tap it, fluid. When he said tap it, that means he's going to draw the fluid off.
Had they given you any idea?
Never said a word. They just took me into the theatre, gave me anaesthetic, and that was it.
Did they say that you'd get better?
Never told you. That was the only time I saw a doctor. That was the only thing I saw there. And if I never asked for him, he wouldn't have called.
So all the other treatment you'd had had been from nursing staff?
In that one underground hospital, that's it.
So you hadn't, and at the Canadian hospital, you'd only had nurses changing your bandages and things?
They didn't change anything. They never even looked at it when we went in,
till
I asked him.
How many days were you in before you got there?
I just went down that day, we got in that day, morning, and it was afternoon when I saw him. Now he was the first man to come to me, and I asked him about it, and he was just walking past us. With his arms around his two sisters, laughing and joking.
Now,
and do you know, I've never smelt a man smelt more like a distillery in my life. It stank of whiskey. They'd been drinking. And I woke up next morning when this hand went over. I'll never forget that day. I prayed to die. I thought, what a shock. I'd never give it this first thought. And though nobody there, then later in the afternoon.
I know you're not a medical man,
no.
But did you feel at the time that if you'd had better treatment, you might have saved your
life? Oh, yeah, definitely. I've no doubt about it, what I've seen now.
That's what you thought at the time?
Yes.
Well, right or wrong? I mean, you may have been wrong, but that's what you thought, isn't
it? Mm. If it had been a man sober, right, wouldn't have done it, I don't think. Not that.
And it was this doctor that did the operation?
He did. Well, I assume it's him that sawed it up. They guillotined them. Do you know how they do that? They just cut all the flesh round, then saw through the bone and put some gauze on them, and leave it. And then she came, and a nurse came. First time I'd seen a nurse, came up with a towel, and she took blanket and started taking this and tearing this gauze off, dried on, and she was pulling it. And it was like pulling a toe out. No wonder that fella screamed. Well, his was only a little thin one. Mine was a thick one here, middle of the thigh. God, I think I called her every name I knew. I says, you're inhuman, woman. And she wouldn't take any notice. I'm sure she was deaf. She just pulled them off. And when I got on the train, next news, they took me out.
Hang on a minute, how many inches above the knee was your leg taken off?
Middle of the thigh.
Middle of the thigh?
Mm. Mid-thigh.
And you'd got this gauze on. And how many days, or how long was the gauze on before the nurse came and took it off?
Next afternoon. I'd done during the night, and come afternoon following day.
When it had dried?
It dried.
Why did they put it on, and why did they take it off? Do you know?
No, I did. Well, to dress it, that's all. To put a bandage round. That's all they did, they cut it off and don't know what they did anything, but they bandaged it up. And then she came and took the bandage off and then started taking this gauze off to put a clean dressing on. And that, and next news, they're taking us out.
Did you, do you think, you're obviously a bit bitter about this nurse.
Yes, yeah.
Do you think she could have done it and caused you less pain?
She could have syringed it, wet it, and it wouldn't have been as bad. You have a wound and you dry bandage and you tear it, it's terrible. But if you wet it, it comes off easy. But you wouldn't.
And you know of no medical reason why she...
No, I had no reason at all.
So you were fairly bitter about
it? I was very bitter about it because I was in agony with it. But what they did after that, they put us on a boat. in a cradle, in a boat, to swinging like that. So we were lucky. When the boat went up, we just kept level all the time. I said, oh, this is more like, this is a lot better. Anyway, I landed in
the... So you
weren't
seasick?
No. It was, we kept level, you see, we were in a cradle. It levelled itself out.
Every now, time. You'd lost your leg and you hadn't been expecting it.
No.
And you said you wished you were dead, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Is that what you really felt? I mean,
yes,
remember what went through your head a bit more? I know it's horrible.
Yes. All I could think of was men stood at street corner with on one crutch with a tin box.
Had you actually seen them?
Yes, I had. That's what they were near us when a chap with a leg up. It was all stood at a street corner with a tin can, begging. And I thought, oh my God. And I was a footballer. My football career had finished. And that. And it was terrible. And, but when we got...
Do you think you were... I mean, did you stay very depressed throughout this period?
Yes, till I got to Stockport.
Hang on, sorry. You say you hoped you were dead, but I mean, how long did that last during that
Well,
period?
It appeared it worked off then. When I got to talking to different people, I didn't see many to talk to, but now, seeing others.
Had you had any time on the Western Front, had you had any idea that a blighty wound would have been a good thing?
You thought a nice little wound would get you to blighty, but never expected this. And then, well, I thought, when I got wounded, I said, thank God, for that, I shall be out of it now. Because I know it's going to get worse there. We knew it was going to get
worse.
So
when you were initially wounded... And you thought it wasn't too bad? You were quite pleased?
I was all right. Oh, thank God now, it's not too bad and I'll be home soon. I'll be out of it. It was a joy, actually.
But once you'd lost your leg, you'd rather have
stayed out there? I'd rather stopped out than lose leg.
Would you have rather taken the risk then of being killed?
Yes, I would. I thought at the time I'd rather have been killed than do that. When the leg come off.
Had you had a horror of mutilation? Which that
no,
was?
I'd never done, never thought of it. Never even thought of it. Although we did, one or two had had their arms off and that, an hour long. And that. But it was...
So, you were put on this boat, and you weren't seasick. What happened where did you land?
I don't know where we landed, but it was night, and they put us in a train and off... Next news, I'm in Stockport Hospital.
Is this just a normal general hospital?
It was a workhouse at one time and been converted into hospital.
Do you know its name?
Stockport General Hospital, I think it was, something like that. And there was a doctor there, a civilian doctor, Mr. Fenwick. And he came to look at me when he took bandages. Oh, the stench was terrible. And the flesh had receded and a 2-inch of bone stuck out. And it had gone black. Oh, he says, now the young man, he says, where do you live? I told him, Leeds. He says, send a telegram for his mother and father to come right away.
Now, since you'd left the Canadian hospital and you hadn't had any treatment, they changed the gauze,
yes.
Put the new bandage, you hadn't had any other treatment?
No.
And how long was that, do you reckon?
Well, I don't know. I think I must have been going off conscious.
So it's quite a while for you.
There too, because the boat, you have to go across on the boat and go in.
And should his dressing have been changed?
Should have been. He made a complaint, he put a complaint. He asked me who'd done it, and I told him, he said, complaint. And now he says, look, sister, there's one thing here, you must never touch that leg. I want you to go and get a bowl of warm water, sterilised water, and so many ounces of peroxide in it and get a syringe and syringe that every 4 hours round the clock. Every 4 hours, don't miss one. I reckon. And he used to come on the morning with a mirror. Now they're not looking nice, isn't it? Yes, it's getting better. And you were right thrilled with getting it right.
Now, so you were just, how were you in bed? You were in bed, I presume.
Yes.
And where was, your leg was just lying on
lying on a pillar. With bandage on.
So it was propped up a bit?
Yes. No, it just less on a little pillar, especially a little pillar to hold it. And a cage over.
And no bandage?
No bandage, just dressing
over. So they were just
Every four hours, they come and took this cloth off and squirted it.
That was with the peroxide.
Peroxide.
Did that hurt at all?
No, it was lovely. It made it nice and easy and all that. And it became like beautiful flesh, clean red flesh.
What about the 2-inch protruding stump?
Well, that stump still stood there. And then...
But the flesh stopped being black?
Yes, I was getting clean and feeling. He used to bring a mirror to show me what it looked like. Oh, I says, we're going to win, William Higgins. We're going to win. And that, it put this complaint.
Did your parents come? They telegrammed your parents. Did they come to
Yes, they come, yes.
And what state were you in when they arrived?
And that, my wife there, she came. And she was I'd met her while I was home, and that. Last 2 days when I was home.
On leave,
and met her. And she kept going to that mother's house and inquiring about me and all like that. And she came with them, and we sprung a friendship up from that. I think it was her that pulled me round with her coming and that. And eventually...
When did you start to feel a bit better then? Your girlfriend...
When I got under this civilian doctor, because he took an interest in me, and he was sorry for the trouble I'd been through, and he said, I'll put in a complaint in, William. He said, they won't get away with it.
It sounds like your life was in danger.
It was, because they thought I was going to die. But anyway, what happened then?
Did you get any counselling?
No, you got nothing.
About what you could do?
No.
What treatment you could have? What legs?
No, nothing whatever. Nobody talked to you.
Not even this civilian doctor?
No, he didn't know anything. He was interested in that. And
so no one was looking after you?
Oh, no, nobody.
You
personally, no. They're just looking after that.
Did you then still think your future was standing on a street corner?
Yes, I. But I felt a little happier now because somebody was taking an interest. Nobody was interested. They wanted you to die, I think.
What was the reaction? Again, this isn't very nice. What was the reaction of your parents and your girlfriend when they first saw you?
Well, they were sorry for me and that, one thing and another, and they tried to make me comfortable and that make me happy. You could see they were all working to make you happy. And people were coming in to talk to you and all that.
Did your mother show her upset? Was your mother...
No, she never showed. She showed her upset. So I saw she was upset. But I told her, I said, I'll be all right, don't worry.
So you, in a sense, were trying to cheer them
yes,
up?
Yes,
and they were trying to cheer you up?
Cheer you up, yes, and that. And...
How did your treatment go on then?
That man was an angel, I said, nice and family. And it was nearly Christmas holidays, 1917. I'd had it off October 1st, and this was December, nearly Christmas holidays, and we'd been treating it, washing it and that, and it got real beautiful, right first class.
Now you'd be bedridden throughout?
Yes, all bedridden. And he come on a ward one afternoon, which was unusual, and he come straight to me. He says, do you know, he says, I've got some good news. I said, have you? What is it? He says, a friend of mine is a first-class surgeon, and he specialises in amputations, and he's home on leave. He said, if he'd do it during Christmas holidays, would you agree? Oh, I said, yes, sir. Right away, I would.
Have what done, sorry?
Reamputation. It had to be reamped, you see, that bone cut back and flesh sewn over. Reamputation.
To make a proper stump? Make
a proper stump. And I said, yes, that'd be fine. He said, right, leave it to me, William, I'm going to get in touch with him. And they came. And the theatre was closed for holidays. And they got a staff in, and they got, and he spent, I don't know how many hours on it. They come for me, took me down.
On his leave?
Yes, on his leave, and did it. And you know, it was perfect.
So, the first time you'd been cut off halfway up the thigh?
Guillotine numb.
And what happened this time? Where did they bring it to this time?
Well, just took the bone and cut it back and then brought the flesh round, dragged it round, and they put stitches in, this muscle, brought it round and sewed it up inside. And then, when I saw it, he showed me, when it was all done, there was a ring right round like that, of stitches and rubber tube, bit of rubber tube, stitch went through rubber tube all the way around that, and then a row stitching around that, that way it sounded again. And you know, everybody that's seen that said, what a beautiful job that this man's done on that stump. And it is, it was. And it was a marvellous job. And he was really interested, was this Dr. Fenwick, and with an old matron there from workhouse days, and she was a stickler. He had to sit up straight in bed and like that. Well, that wasn't fit for arm. And this doctor said, leave them alone. Let them be happy. And that. And she wouldn't have, when she come in with Dr. Sit to attention, blanket state, bed sheet state and everything, it was terrible. Anyway, somehow or other, I don't know what happened, but he tells us, he says, she's non compos mentis. Well, she sued him. No, libel case came when he had to go away. He had to move, so I never saw him no more. Just vanished. But we collected, they collected, I was at a rope, we collected and bought him a gold cigarette case and presented it to him.
So they botched it. They might, the situation was your leg perhaps shouldn't have come off as according to you in the first place. Right. They'd made a mess of it, but now, one way and another, they'd actually put
made it perfect.
Made it as good as it could be,
yes.
It was gone.
Exceptionally good.
Did you have any trouble after this?
Never had a minute's trouble till 1936.
What was the next stage then in your recovery, so to speak?
Well, next stage was I went home from to a convalescent home, a Colshaw Hall in Knutsford.
Where, sorry?
Knutsford in Cheshire.
And it was Colshaw.
Colshaw Hall.
Colshaw.
It was a big private house, and they had about eight of us in.
And when did you go there?
After a convalescent from this operation.
So that'd be into
a week or two after.
Into 18 then?
Yes, in January 18 or something like that. And I'd never been out of bed. So they brought me a pair of crutches because they said, will you sit out with your leg out of bed? I sat there. They said, don't worry, you'll find it pins and needles from your arm because this leg had been up since October and then blood was starting to run down. So I sat there. And then it gradually felt use and tried to stand up on one leg.
That's your good leg?
Yes. And then they brought me a pair of crutches. And then next news, there's ambulance come to take me to this thing. And to go down a flight of steps. And I'd only walked. This was the only time I got crutches. I walked to there. And at the time, go down steps. So I thought, my God, this is going to be terrible. So I put both crutches under one arm and got all the handrail. And went down like that.
Was no porter to help you?
There was a porter going down with me, but he didn't know anything about anything. He was just to carry luggage, anything that. And that. Anyway, I got into this ambulance and went to this private home, and it was a beautiful place. And, of course, I didn't tell them I'd just got out of bed. I didn't want to go back as a bed patient, so I stopped up. And we had a right lovely time there with Marvel.
How long did it take you to get used to crutches? Because they're not that easy to use, are they?
Well, I had no option. I had to go out of ward. And somebody said, put crutches forward and then spring. And of course, I was young at that age. But I managed them.
Arms were strong enough.
Yes, I wouldn't have them little arms. Them's the same crutches, 1917.
What, the ones you've got here?
Yes.
You've kept them all this time?
All the time. They've only been painted. They're lighter than them other things, isn't that? They're better. And the better, you get drop wrists with them other things.
So these are the ones where you support yourself?
On your hands and shoulders. They're the leather.
Under your arm?
Yes, under your arm. But you can put weight on and relieve your hands. Or vice versa. Oh, they're lovely, them. I wouldn't part with them. They're better than the others. But I don't use them. I only use them here if I want to get to the toilet with it when I've taken my leg off. That's why I like them here.
Now, one thing, it might seem a curious thing, but people say that you can still get pain from your leg even when it's gone. Is that true or not?
Oh, it's true. Oh, I knew it wouldn't. I was going to tell you later about being in hospital. I met a chap and he had them so severe, it went off his mind with it.
And he was having pain from
what they call phantom pains. Your pain, it felt like, I've had it on here when I've had a cold, and you'd think somebody was hitting your foot with a hammer. You go, like that. It's just a stabbing pain. But they have them regular. But I'm one of the lucky ones. This is a specialist has done something, and I don't have them. So I've been thinking about giving them my stump when I die, tell them to have a look and see what it is, if it'll help anybody else that know it.
So you think, because of the excellence of the surgery?
Yes.
The second surgery?
Yes, exactly.
So you think you might have had trouble if you'd been left with the first one?
Well, they all have phantom pains, and I don't. So I'm thinking about, say, when I die, have a look inside and see how I've done it.
Now, you were at this hall, the convalescent
culture hall.
And how was your treatment going on there? You'd been issued with crutches, you were getting the hang of them. What happened next?
Oh, it was the most marvellous place. It was some lady, I don't know if it was Lady Peel and her husband, but they converted part of their house into little bedrooms and that. Oh, and they were marvellous. It was like being in heaven and that. With a dark navy blue suit, white shirt every morning in bed, and a sock, clean sock, white shirt and a clean tie every morning on his bed for when he woke up. And oh, it was lovely. Never had such treatment. And had a lovely lawn outside for us to go sit on. And then they bought us a croquet set. And I got pretty nimble then, I'll be them.
Were they all...
I was the only one with a leg off. They all had wounds. And I was the only one with a leg off, and I was the young one.
And you could play croquet by then?
So I were hopping round with croquet, two of us play, and it got too droll, so we started playing hockey. Two of us, banging. And we both lashed out, and both sticks crossed like that, and one hammerhead flew off. Oh, God, we sat down and laughed at that. On grass. Then we got up, he said, what are we going to do? I said, look, I'm going up to see Maitre and that, what Lady Peel went and saw staff nurse. I said, will you take us up to see Mrs. Peel, please? Yeah? So we went up and I said, now then, what do you want? I said, well, we've come first of all to apologise. We're playing croquet and we got excited. We went to croquet, went to hockey. And I said, we broke this stick, so will you get it repaired? Well, I'll pay for it. She says, you won't pay for it. She says, you know, I enjoyed every minute of watching you. So that was the sort of things we had. She thought we were hilarious, us playing. Well, we were sort of getting fit.
It sounds like you were beginning to get a bit of your...
I was beginning to become natural now.
Was the depression going away altogether, or would it come back?
Oh, well, I'd forgotten the depression. I was now reconciled to this and that.
So you didn't suffer any phases of depression? I mean,
No, it seemed to... they're making it so pleasant for us and that. And
when do you think the actual depression and the wanting to be dead packed up?
When we went to... that Mr. Fenton... took it off.
The doctor,
yes.
Gave you the sort of will
more confidence when he did that, and everybody said what a good job he'd made of it. And he said he'd get a right good limb, you know. And I don't know whether he would or not, but he said he would. And that, and so depression went. And when I went to this here convalescent home, it was marvellous to us.
Are you still not worried about your long-term future? I mean, this business of being a beggar and
things. No, that went when I got a job. But I was going to come later to that.
Okay, sorry, carry on at the conversation. Did you get visitors there?
No. I'll tell you what there was. We're in Cheshire, there's all these big estates. You could see a big house there. And all the daughters were VAD nurses, so they didn't go into the army. And there were VAD nurses in there. And they used to come to me, Mr. Towers, will you come and be photographed taken with us? And I used to go out on the lawn and sit there like Joe Plush, follow with them, and having photos. I've had dozens of photographs taken, and each of them would come on to have a photo. They all had the photographs taken with me. Don't know why there were other six or seven in place. and now a young one.
And these VADs were working at the...
They were there. They were from other big houses, you know, acting as VAD nurses.
And were they good nurses?
Oh, yes. They weren't qualified nurses, but they did odd jobs for you, you know, helped you about.
And they were kind?
Very kind indeed. And they were pleasant. And they had a daughter called Daphne. And she used to come down. Will you go for a ride with me this afternoon? Whispering. She said, in something, one of them four-wheel buggy cars, you know, with a seat for two and a pony.